doing? I haven't done a service in here in a long time. I have a lot of skeletons in this room. Good stories and scary stories. Let me have your attention. Come on, let's all stand together. Isn't it good to be in here? Let's sing How Great Thou Art. Would you sing this with us? Okay. Settle down now. We got to sing a little bit. Sylvester, turn me up way loud. They're not hearing me. Here we go. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think, that God is sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, yes, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Let's sing that chorus again. Then sings my soul, come on, oh, and then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, yes, how great thou art, how great thou art, oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Again, Jesus paid.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
He washed
it white as snow.
One more time.
He washed it white as snow.
Let's lift this up. Oh, praise the one who paid our debt. Sing this out with me.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We sing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We sing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Yeah. Amen. 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 This is so cool to be in here. I never did a service in the old original building. Never. I did other things there, but never a service. This is where I started in 1988. This is where I did about 20 years worth, and saw people fall and break their ankles in the balcony, and saw animals that wouldn't do right on the stage or go off the stage, and just crazy stuff. And saw people walk down that aisle and that aisle right there and that aisle right there and give their hearts to Jesus. I love this room, but I love the Lord Jesus, who made this room something. This room is nothing. This is just a thing. He is everything. And so that building over there, while it was the beginning and it's so special and it's beautiful to a lot of y'all, it's only because of Jesus. And he's still there. And the next building is going to be even better, because a whole lot of people are going to be coming and getting saved, and they're all going to be youngins that have the potential to give their whole life to the Lord Jesus. So thank you for coming tonight. And so would you sing one more time? How marvelous, how wonderful is our great God. Let's do it one more time.
We sing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
Let's pray together. Would you bow with me? God, you are so good, and we are so thankful for you. Thank you that we can gather in this place, and it's sort of nostalgic to us, but that's really not anything. You are everything. Thank you for your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, move in our midst. Do big things. Remind us of what you have before us. Thank you for Pastor John Morgan, and thank you for Pastor Matt. We're so grateful for the men that you've given us that we can follow. It is so rich. It is so sweet. It is so good. And you are awesome. We love you. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Tonight we're going to take some time remembering all that the Lord has done in our midst. And That is such a good word, Bill, that what makes this building and that building and any building special is the presence of Jesus. Because without the presence of Jesus, there would be no greatness to it. And it's just a night to remember that. And I'm curious, was anybody that is here tonight, was anybody in the very first worship service? I'll not go ahead and stand up. You must have been a teenager when that at. So hold on, keep standing. Let's take a look. Right. Y'all give them a hand. I just keep standing for just a second. I just want to say on behalf of all of us, thank you so much for your faithfulness over the years, man. Unbelievable faithfulness to God and this church. Thank y'all so much. Give them a hand. Thank you. And I'm just curious, is Jay Evers here? Did Jay make it tonight? Jay, where are you, man? Stand up, Jay. I found out something today that I didn't know. And that of the original six deacons at Sagemont Church, he's the last one standing, man, right here. Y'all give him a hand. And I found a picture of him. What was that picture that I sent to you? How old were you in that picture? When he was 28 years old, I'm just telling you, the man was handsome. I'm not lying. I texted him and said, "What happened, brother? What happened to you?" No, he was a good-looking guy. So, like, original deacon in, I think it was the second service on Sunday when I was preaching on demons, I actually said deacons. It was a Freudian slip, Pastor. Sometimes it's interchangeable. But tonight, we just thought it would be awesome to hear from our founding pastor, our longtime pastor here at Sagemont, Brother John Morgan. Would y'all welcome him tonight?
Where are the offering plates?
That's a good question. When I came here, they told me I couldn't pass them. I remember that. Well, Brother John, it's an honor to have you. I've been looking forward to this for a few weeks. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Brother John a couple of questions, and we just want to hear his heart for a little bit of the history of Sagemont. And my first question, and I've never talked to you about this, but when did you first start thinking about, praying about starting a church? Was that something that you were thinking about? Was it thrust upon you? Tell us just a little bit about that.
No, I was, I pastored while I was at Baylor. I would come down to Brenham and pastor a church there, and found out after I was there about 6 months that it was a German Baptist. And so I had a couple of deacons that took a nip every once in a while. So that pastor didn't last long. And then when Beth and I got up to the, how can I get where I can turn around? I'm not sure. Let me get back just a little bit further. Well, I was called a pastor in Sulphur Springs at the Posey Baptist Church. And Beth and I would drive up on the weekends, and I would preach and then come back on Sunday night and get back at the seminary at about 10:30. She'd be asleep, and I'd make sure she made it to the apartment before we'd both fall down. And I'd always, they'd pay me with cabbage and carrots and spinach and hog meat and chickens and all that, so I had to unload all that. But anyway, that was our first church up in East Texas. And when I went there, my first deacon's meeting, they told me that everybody in that part of Hopkins County that was going to get saved was. Right. That's from the deacons. And so at the end of the year, we had baptized 16, and we were the second church in the association. And Richard Jackson was at First Baptist Church, and he baptized over 100 over there. And but those were the days. And then I got a call in the middle of the night, literally, about 1 in the morning, after it was on a Sunday night or an early Monday morning, from a man named Alexander, Gene Alexander. And they had had a meeting on Sunday and asked if I'd come here to Houston that they were going to start this church, and they wanted me to consider being the pastor. So would I come down here? And so I got on TTA, Trans Texas Airways. It was about $8 for the trip. And they picked me up, and we came out here, and it was just solid rice fields and great, great goose hunting. It really appealed to me, you know. Deer hunting. I mean,
that's the real reason this church exists.
To me, yeah. And so that's the way I came down, and they said, we're going to start a church, and this would be the last church. First Baptist Pasadena wanted, my father wanted to start a church in every part of the city. And this was the last one to come on board. And some of the deacons went to my dad, so my dad says, and asked, could they consider Beth and I coming here? So that's the way we started. And it's been a good time.
Yeah, I'd say so. Pastor, y'all built this, the building, the Legacy Chapel, we call it now. The very first service was on October 30th, 1966. It was a long time ago. And the reason I thought about doing this tonight is because I'm a church planner, too. I started a church and pastored it for 18 years, and so I know it has a special place in our hearts, those early days when you don't know if it's going to fail or if it's going to succeed. You don't know if anybody's going to come, but you planted it, and people came. Tell us just a couple stories tonight about some of your memories of that building and what God was doing.
Some stories about what now?
The building and just the your memories and what God was doing. And
yes. Okay, well, the way this happened, Ayrshire Corporation was the ones that owned all this land out here. And in the midst of all of their long-range planning, they were going to put two churches. They were going to give two tracts of land to two churches along with the schools and all, because that would attract people to come in. Well, First Baptist had the chance at this piece of property. And so we came when they came here, and they put this property under contract. They gave this one to the Presbyterians over here, and the Presbyterian pastor lived down here on Sage River, and Beth and I were about three houses down. And so this church started at the same time, or a little before Sagemont did. The Presbyterians did. And they could build buildings a little cheaper because they didn't have deep baptistries, you know. They could just bring something from the kitchen. And so Brother Wilson and I got together, and I said, I'll tell you what, you go get the elected ones, and I'm going to go get the whosoever wills. Well, you can check the numbers now if you've attended next door. We just went after everybody, red and yellow, black and white. And Pastor Matt, I can honestly say this. I have never gotten a call, a letter, stopped me in the hallway or 7-Eleven or whatever, of racism. 17 nations were represented the last time I checked. Not one. No prejudice whatsoever. Nor has there ever been a negative vote in a church conference here. Not one. Go back to read the message. I tell our preacher friends, Matt, that, I mean, our members that move and looking for a church, I said, don't look for the billboards. Don't look for the TV show. Ask them to let you read the minutes of the last business meetings for the last 2 years. And you'll find out real quick whether this is a church that you want to go to. And then the big change was when we took Baptist off our name. Now, boy, was that a big one, Matt. You understand, you know. I thought, oh, the world's going to come to an end. And if we take that Baptist off, because only Baptists are going to go to heaven, some thought. But they've changed their mind since then. And so I came to the deacons and asked us to consider Sagemont Church. And here was my rationale. If you don't like Chinese food, I do, but if you don't, and you come to Houston and there's a sign that says, best Chinese food in Houston, you won't go there one time. But if it says best food in Houston, you'll come once. And you know, in all the time to right now, I think when people step on this campus, God does what only God can do. And it's not about advertisement. It's not about how great we are. And on our young preachers that I get a chance to talk to now, I tell them, try to make the front page of the local paper for free every week. And all of you know that have been here, how Marie Fleckinger, who is a Catholic and loves this church, And even told Emery and I she wants her, us to help with her funeral. But it hadn't come yet. But anyway, she's always writing stories, so watch her. When she comes in, she'll be checking
out. I've made friends with her on purpose.
Yeah, and so, she, yeah. Don't you agree with me?
She's awesome.
She's a precious, precious lady we can be so proud of. So that's a, I think that's enough on that subject.
Well, tell us, you told me a story other day on the phone about one day you were preaching and you heard some noise, some water moving around in a baptistry right behind you. Tell that story for the new people out there.
I was holding that up to those that go over to the chapel here in a little bit. Are we going over there?
We are, yes, sir. We were trying to go be spiritual over there.
Well, I'll tell you over there. But we had a, you remember, that I always talk about the pothole out there in front where the sewer overflowed just about 3 hours before we opened the doors of this church, and which is another story I'll talk about later. But anyway, what were we talking about?
We're talking about the baptistry, those kids in the baptistry.
I've been trying to forget that story.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you might, you know, but no, seriously, I was up preaching, and when you go over there, you will see. I'm preaching here, and the baptistry is no further than right here. And the choir's back here, two rows, and I'm preaching up a storm, and I hear water. Somebody's in the water, or somebody dropped something in the water. And so I'm trying to preach and look at my notes and look at the people, and I hear this thing again, and I'm looking at my choir. Is there not somebody in the bass section, that little common sense, you know, that would kind of go back there and check on it? So fine, I just turn around real quick, and I said, like that. He got up. He goes back to the back. After the service is over, I'm down at back at the back door where we'll go in a minute. And he comes to me and said, preacher, come here. He said, you're not going to believe what's going on. And there was three kids in the baptistry. Three. Two boys and a girl. And they didn't have on a stitch of clothes. Now, would that not have been a grand opening with Marie Flekinger there that Sunday morning? I said, oh, my gosh. You know, but some way we got through that. I forgot how that was all solved. I never saw the children. Probably was good that I didn't.
That's the greatest story I've ever heard in my life.
If they hadn't had a spanking, they might have got one. No. And let me tell you one more, since we're not going to do it over there. My dad had a lot of humor in him. He is a Mississippi farmer. And we were having trouble with our air conditioning unit. And they had two, I think, compressors. And while he was preaching or singing, you know, a man would get up and he'd go over there and turn the deal, you know, and come sit down. His wife would just smile, you know, and that's my man, you know, he got it right. And go over to this one. Well, of course, he's going up and down, up and down, up and down. So my dad said, when you see these posts over there, he said, go down and get you a thermostat for both posts and have somebody put it in that looks like it was put in by a professional and then just leave it alone. And so, because it's not going to change the temperature. So every service, you know, the guys would go over there and they would move it and sit down, and I'm up here watching them. And the wife just said, you know, you precious thing, you, thank you, you know, you're wonderful. And he wasn't hooked to a thing in the world. But up here, you know, kind of, you know, Mary Hart does good like a medicine. Well, it was good medicine for those folks. And so that's just another one of the humorous stories that took place. And when we get over there, I might point out a couple of things if anybody wants to talk. But anyway, yes, we had a great time. Every seat was full. And that day, is Kevin Morrison here by any chance? Okay, Kevin was saved that morning. And Jonathan is his son. But we felt like when he got saved that morning that it was worth all the investment to start the Sagemont Church. His son turned out to be one of the finest, of course, missionary on our staff here at Sagemont. And that whole family, the Bowman family and others, it all started, and a lot of it, and I want to make sure I say this tonight, our students and our young children have started many of us thinking differently of talking about how to love God, serve God, do what God wants you to do. and bring in lay people that would talk to them as a father would talk to a son or a daughter, or a mother would talk to a daughter or a son. And it's just been that building, obviously, you say, well, do you hate to see it come down? Not really, because it's going to be replaced by something absolutely incredible. And so I can't wait.
So I sprung this question on him right here tonight. He didn't know this was coming, but I told him. So hopefully you got an answer. And if you don't, that's okay, because there may be so many things that you've seen over the years, you may not be able to pin one. But I was thinking about it. If you look back on your ministry, which has been, you know, north of 50-something years, that's a long time, what is the one thing, if you had to put your finger on it, that maybe, this is a bad word, but that you're proudest of, that the Lord did through you and your ministry here at Sagemont Church, that you look back on and you're just really proud of what the Lord did?
I think that it would be without question that this church has been in one accord. I mean, when one of us hurt, we all hurt. When one of us is rejoicing, we all rejoice. And it's in the record books over and over again. That's what would Jesus do? And those stories that many of those that are sitting right here now were right face to face with so many. We could tell them, I guess, till the Lord came back again. But how this church reached out in a powerful way to touch this city, this community to start with. And then it spread over to the Fifth Ward. Our students went over there one day, and some of you know him, our buddy Stuart Morris from Stuart Title, who I've known since I was a little boy, and he gave us some money to give to the students to go over and fix up the Fifth Ward. And there must have been 200 teenagers out there, and it made the papers, it made the community, and those things are the highlights of my life, when the church came together in one accord and did what Jesus would do.
God has done amazing things to this man right here. As a matter of fact, let's do this. If you became a believer at Sagemont, or maybe you got saved early on in your life, but the season that you really began to walk with Jesus happened at Sagemont Church, would you stand up? There you go, Pastor. And Pastor, that's just a fraction. That's just a fraction of the fruit that the Lord's given you. One more quick question, and you touched on it just a second ago. You know, before you retired and became a rattlesnake killer in South Texas.
Kathy taught me that.
You began the process that what we now know is Envision, which we're building our student ministry building. It's going to be out there where the Legacy Chapel is. What word of encouragement would you give to us? What vision would you cast for us? You have any words for us as we continue that vision that you began before you left?
On the new building.
Yes, sir.
I don't think there's anything that's a heavier burden on my heart at my time in life and the 80 years that I have lived and what I've been able to see in one city, you know, Pasadena. And, of course, out here, we're not in Pasadena, but we're pretty close. But I have seen such an impact on what students can be if they'll be what we equip them to be. But you can't do it from the platform. Thank God for the platform. Thank God for worship. But when the thing that turned Sagemont on, when we opened the door the first Sunday in Sagemont, everybody that met in our meeting served somewhere. And we tried to do that through a bus ministry, 30 buses. And people like Michael Pender that's over at Fallbrook, I got to tell you, this is a funny story. If you don't know him, go hear him preach. He grew up here, rode on the buses. And, of course, Chuck Snyder was one of our captains. And he went to one of the captains of his bus, the girl did, and said, I want to marry Michael, and I want him to ride my bus. I want him to get him on my bus. And then we can be on the same bus. Well, they did. They're married. They'll probably have 4,000 people there Sunday. The color of his skin is black. His heart loves Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's the sweetest name I know. But the students, like people, like all of our, of course, Emory is our grandfather, I think, of our student ministry. At least that's who I think of, with John Wills and all the other guys. But I can remember those groups where the adults, give me a group, give me a group, give me a group. Let me help these. And I've always looked at older people, and it's hard for me to find any of them. That's the reason I bring Mr. Morris over here every once in a while. He's 102. I talked to him on the phone this morning. But I like to talk to older people because I know they know more than I do, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. But the thing that makes Sagemont great in the children's ministry or the teenager, whatever, is when the adults get involved. And you say, well, you know, I'm just worried about the giving. You don't have to give. You can't give what you don't have. If you're honest, you can't give, but you're going to miss a blessing if you do have it, and God blesses you with it. But if you don't, give your life. Don't you thank God for these motorcycle riders that cut the grass out here every Saturday morning? I mean, those people mowing that lawnmower, saving this church $250,000 a year. You think they're not important? You bet they are. Because the first thing people see is that cross, and the next thing they see is that yard. And by the time they get up here, they say, you know what? The way this looks, this may be where I need to walk in that door. But if you just sit back and become a judge, whether you're going to praise them or criticize them, and you're not involved, you really need to spend some quiet time with the Lord. I wrote some scripture down, and I know my time's up, so I'm going to just read it real quick, okay?
All the time you want, Pastor.
But I want you to listen to these. I had Kathy help me find some of these today, because my burden today at my age, from my observation, is that the parents are losing control of the decisions that are made in their family. I never had a choice, and I never hated my mother and daddy for it, but I have praised them many times because I learned in vacation Bible school, not just being in a preacher's house, but that God had a plan for my life. Paul Bosch, any of you remember who that guy is? Friday Night Wrestling, the third television to ever come to Pasadena was in our house. Another one was in George Delaney's house, was a deacon, and another one in S.R. Jones, the banker that helped us finance the first thing we did out here. And Paul Bosch was on there, you know, all these wrestlers, and he was interviewing them. They was throwing each other around. And I'm down there watching, believing it all. And he says to me, he goes like this. I'm the John Mark, and I come up there. He said, what's your name? I said, John. And he said, where'd you get that name? I said, from the Bible. And he said, well, what are you going to do when you get grown? When you get to be big. That's what he used. He didn't use the word big. And I said, and this just came just out of me. I said, whatever God wants me to be. And he broke. He literally was paralyzed with tears. Did you know Paul Bosch ended up at Sharpstown Church as an usher? And I think a deacon before he passed away. But I knew when I was a young man, because I was surrounded by people that loved lost kids. They loved my friends. They welcomed the friends. And the camps, I got to be my highest position in life was being the lifeguard at the GA camp in Peach Creek, Texas. You know where that is? A wonderful WMU lady, and I think it was Mrs. Pitts at Sagemont Church, offered me the job to be the lifeguard at the girls' swimming time. And boy, it was a problem though, man. But I learned how to take care of it. I would get a little snake about this long. And when it came time, you know, and I'd just throw that snake out in the swimming pool. And those little old things would head right to the concrete and go all the way around. And you could just see them, woo, 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 woo. And here they would go. But the thing that I want to say to you, though, that I sure don't want to let it get by me. Mom and daddy, adults, we need to help each other together as a family raise our teenagers. I tell every teenager I see today, Kathy will tell you, if I have 2 minutes with them, I tell them, I'm going to give you some advice. I hope you remember it all your life. Don't ever make anything possible unless you're willing for it to happen. In other words, You'll never be an alcoholic if you never drink a beer. Can you understand where we're going with this? That, you know, skydiving. I tell these kids, I say, let me tell you what, I'm not going to die skydiving because I'm not jumping out of any airplane while the motors are running. Only Chuck Snyder does that. And Chuck will tell you in his testimony, he came within a few feet of not being alive. And he went back, you know Chuck.
I do.
He jumped one more time, but he hadn't jumped since. So he's got it now.
I'll never jump because Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always.
There you go.
Even to the end of the earth.
There you are. And I've been in two plane crashes in Africa, but I stayed with a plane and I walked out. If I have to go down again, I'm staying with a plane. I'm staying with a plane. But I think that if I could just share these scriptures real quick, I hope that this will summarize what I've hoped that I've conveyed tonight. Proverbs 22 and 6, if you want to write these down. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Who's going to do the training? If that scripture is, it better be us. We can't depend on the world. Isaiah 54, 3. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Another one, Psalm 127, 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Psalm 127, 3. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. Boy, that's the teenager straight on, straight on. My minister of youth was Mrs. Dixon. She was 67 years old, and she could take the toughest football player at Pasadena High School and humble him real quick at our student gatherings because she was a mama, grandmother, and she loved kids. Matthew 19, 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. 3 John 1, 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Where are they going to hear it? They're not going to get it on the internet. They're going to get it from people like us that are living proof of a what? Of a loving God to a watching bunch of teenagers. Don't you think? You know, my mother and dad never let me decide where I was going to be on Sunday. I wasn't in the volleyball or anything else. And I guarantee you, I lived long enough to tell Dad and Mom, thank you. Because I don't know what I'd have turned out to be. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. We need each other, folks. And I'm praying that that will happen.
There's a verse that says, it's better to be a door holder in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And Alan Sismar has put something together for you that we just want to give you as a gift tonight, small token to say thank you. Come on up and show you what this is.
Oh, yeah.
Pastor John has been holding the door open for God's people for a really long time, and so Alan, why don't you tell everybody what this is?
Brother John, this is the handle and the push plate from the chapel door of the Legacy Building.
Ooh, that's great, buddy.
So.
That is so neat. That is so neat.
Now, all the materials in this, I'd say 90% came out of that building.
That's great.
And I just wanted to give it to you. Thank you for being our pastor.
Thank you.
For all the years. Thanks for letting God use you the way he did.
Thank you,
because I know it wasn't you. It was him through you.
That's right. That is so right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
Love you, man.
You know, I'll cherish this.
You know it.
I'll cherish this. Matt. Would you give me two more minutes, three more minutes? I want to tell you something about this room right here. My mind's been running since walking in here. I want to give you this real quickly. When we ran out of money before, we were going to pay cash. So if we didn't get the money, we'd just stop. We stopped, and a big flood came out here that just flooded this place, you know. God stopped it. Then we came back and built the building, and God paid for it. You know, he just put a stop on it. But here's what I wanted to tell you. When we got through, when we were right there to putting it over the goal, we needed $85,000 to put the carpet down. After the service, a man who was sitting about the fourth or fifth row back, right over here, came walking up to me, and he said my name. I don't remember his name. He said, I'm not a member of your church, but he said, how much is that carpet? And I said, $85,000. And he handed me a check for $85,000. He said, I'm a Methodist. I said, boy, that makes it mean even more, you know. Yeah, he could have been a Presbyterian. It had been worse. But anyway, in the Methodist, you know, this building, you know, we were worried about the roof because they put the wrong roof on here. Two deacons, one was the architect, one was the builder. He put them up, and the architect would not accept our that's not right. The architect to the builder, no, I'm not going to let church pay you, you know. And so they were like this, and I was praying, you know, dear God, don't let these, they were both Christians, quote unquote. And I said, God, do something, you know. The next morning at 6:30, I got a call from Bill Moore, who was our assistant pastor. He said, Brother John, he says, you've been wanting to see that roof. He said, if you'll come down here, he said, I'll show it to you. And in the middle of the night, a tornado came right over the 7-Eleven store, jumped over it, came up here and hit that roof and threw it out here behind. And he said, I guarantee you, you've got a $350,000 check coming to you from State Farm, and God took care of it. He owns State Farm just like he owns Sage My Church, if they just wake up, you know. But it was so neat, you know, to see how God would just, in our weakness, he can be made strong. And so what I just want to do with you, let's be living proof of a loving God to a watching world, and pray for our teenagers, pray for our children. The first thing this church ever built was a 16 by 40 foot children's building after this went up. And it was 16 by 40 foot, and it cost $2,500. And the first day, now the bad news, 40 of us showed up. The next day, 10 showed up. And the last 3 weeks, 3 guys showed up. But we did get our nursery built. The last one, and the biggest building on this campus, is the children's building. That, too, was just a miracle gift from God because, again, God loves our kids, don't he? We love them, and God loves them. And he wants to flow his wealth through his children. I met with my banker today, and I tried to explain to him that we don't need the bank because we got a God that owns a bank. And if the bank has money, we got money, right? That's where they get it, by the way. They don't print that stuff. But we learn that, God, if you'll bless us, we'll use it for your glory. God bless y'all. Love you.
Y'all give him a hand.
We'll have some fun just playing Pastor. Around.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We've got a real quick video to show you before we head out, and I'll say a couple words after that, and we'll head out the door.
Legacy. Word legacy has many meanings, but none more important than this. A legacy is something that one generation leaves to another, and just as a good parent or grandparent thinks about the legacy they leave their children and grandchildren, a church should also consider the legacy that it leaves. From the very beginning, Brother John Morgan and the founding members of Sagemont Church worked together to establish a legacy of faithfulness, sacrifice, service, generosity, and most importantly, a love for Jesus Christ. Another part of that legacy, which has now thrived for more than 50 years, is a vision for Sagemont Church to impact future generations with the good news of Jesus Christ in Houston and around the world. In order for the next generation to carry out the Great Commission, Sagemont launched what is known as the Envision Project. Envision was born out of a need to create a space right here on our main campus, uniquely designed to meet the needs of our growing junior high and high school ministry. The need is real, as today's students live in a world where it's more difficult to be a teenager than maybe at any other time in our nation's history. That's why it's critical to be a church that does everything it can to reach and equip students with the truth of God's word before they're sent into the world.
3 years ago, when the vision for a new student building was cast, our church family embraced the need and they accepted the call to give sacrificially so that the project could be completed debt-free. Since then, the world has changed dramatically. We found ourselves facing a worldwide pandemic which disrupted ministry as we knew it. But now, as we're beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel, we're realizing that Sagemont Church didn't just endure the trial, we thrived in it. Ministry on campus has resumed. People are coming to Christ left and right, and we're growing. And what's amazing is that one of the greatest areas of growth in our church is being realized through the younger generation. And while that's really good news, it brings us to an important crossroads. I heard a saying once that I've never forgotten. It says a church is either planning for its future or its funeral. Sagemont, that is what Envision is all about. Envision is not just about building a building. It's about building our future. A future where our children and their children and their children can have a safe, fun, exciting place to learn about Christ, to be discipled, and to invite their friends to do the same. Church family, the time to complete our student ministry building and renew our commitment to the next generation is right now. Here at Sagemont Church, I can say without exaggeration, we stand on the shoulders of visionaries and giants of the faith. Some are still here, some are long gone, but they were a generation of people that gave and gave sacrificially of their time, their service, and their finances. And we are the recipients of that amazing legacy. Now the torch, the mission of God has been passed to us. Will you join me in helping us fulfill our calling to reach the next generation? It's our time to carry on the legacy.
Thank you so much. Just a real quick update, just 2 minutes, and then we'll head out the door, and we're just going to pray a little bit out there and thank the Lord, and we'll dismiss tonight. We have all of our permits for the building, which is a good thing. Finally, it took forever. We finally got all the permits. We found out today that they're expecting construction to begin on August 2nd. Second week of August is when we should start seeing stuff being moved. And what's that? We good? I thought somebody yelled at me. Okay, second week of Austin. Good news is that we've raised a little bit over $7 million for the project. You guys have been giving and giving faithfully for that. Yeah, y'all can clap for that. That's a lot of money. But the bad news is we need to raise about $5 or $6 million more. And you're like, why is this such an expensive building? And it really does come down to the new administration, the cost of materials from their decisions and stuff. It has skyrocketed materials, cost of steel, cost of a lot of things. And so it has gone up significantly. But at the end of the day, I was thinking about it, and Pastor John said this, that is not bad news. At the end of the day, that's good news. Because now we have the opportunity to see God's faithfulness in action. And he talked about every time that this church had a need, God presented a miracle, and I love seeing the miracles of God. And so would y'all join us in praying and giving sacrificially? Let's get this thing done. Let's do it for our children. Pastor John said it. I think it's harder to be a teenager than any other time in the history of our country. And we want to provide a space for them to come and to hear about the Lord. And so let's do it for them. Let's do it for our grandchildren. And crying out loud, let's finish the legacy that Pastor John began just a few short years ago. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dismiss, and we're going to go out to y'all's right. And Brother John is going to say a word or two, and Pastor Chuck is going to pray for us. And we just want to thank God for what he did in that sanctuary. So let's pray together. Father God, we come before you, and we believe that you have called us to this, that you have called us to build this building for the sake of the next generation. And Lord, as Pastor John has said so many times, you have all the money in the world, but your people need to release it to be used for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray they would. I pray that you would do a miracle among us. I pray that we would be able to stand in a very short time and say, God, you were good. You provided for us, Lord. We ask you for that. We pray that you would do this, not so that we'd be glorified or have a new cool building, God, but that the name of Christ would be lifted up in the city of Houston and all over the world. God, we love you. As we just take a moment to remember, Lord, what you did all those years ago, let me just say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness through the years. God, you are good. And we praise you and worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll see you guys out at the Legacy Chapel.